hungry to eat, it is already too late and you will binge. Then you are likely to eat too much and stuff yourself. You go from starving to stuffed and back to starving again. These peaks and valleys in your hunger result in way too much calorie consumption. Instead, eat regularly. Many researchers suggest 5 small meals a day so that you never get hungry. Without the peaks and valleys, you will actually eat fewer calories. Though they didn't realize it, the folks in the diet industry know quite a lot about growing a healthy business. Let's examine these principles one by one. 1. Parkinson's Law: Why Your Business is Like a Tube of Toothpaste. In the years since I discovered these 4 physical health principles, I dug further and further into why they matter. The 4 principles that the PBS fitness expert shared are all rooted in behavioral science. When you know what makes you tick, it gives you a massive advantage over yourself. Behavioral science gives you the advantage to subdue your biggest competitor, namely you. Let's start with small plates. In 1955, a modern philosopher named C. Northcote Parkinson came up with the counterintuitive Parkinson's law, that the demand for something expands to meet its supply. In economics, this is called induced demand. It's why expanding roads to reduce traffic congestion never works in the long term, because more drivers always show up in their cars to fill those extra lanes. In other words, if you went to a Spanish tapas bar that served those tiny plates, you would eat less. But if you went to a Ponderosa all-you-can-eat buffet where they have plates the size of manhole covers, you would eat until the food was coming out of your ears. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Challenge accepted. Similarly, if your clients give you a week to turn around a project, you'd likely take the whole week. But if she gives you just a day, you'll make it happen in a day. You see, the more we have of something, the more of it we consume. This is true for anything: food, time, even toothpaste. How much toothpaste do you use when you have a brand new tube of toothpaste? A big old glop of it, right? I mean, why not? After all, you have a full tube of toothpaste. So you put a nice long bead on the brush of yours. Then, before you start brushing, you turn on the faucet to moisten up the brush a little. Then it happens. Damn it! The paste falls into the sink. But who cares, right? You just opened up the tube, for God's sake. You have tons of this stuff. So you put on another big old glop and brush away. But when you open the cabinet drawer and find there's a nearly empty tube, my, oh my, how the game changes. Starts off with an insane amount of squeezing and twisting and turning. You reach for your toothbrush, momentarily releasing a little bit of your vice-like grip on the tube. And with that, like a tortoise's head, when a 3-year-old comes at it with a stick, the paste shoots back into the tube. You could shout out some expletives at this point, but you can't, because you are already on stage 2 of toothpaste extraction, biting down hard on the tube. With a precarious balance of biting, one hand squeezing and tube twisting, while your other hand somehow tries to get the brush bristles to scoop out toothpaste, you have victory. One droplet of toothpaste, which is just enough for that fresh mouth sensation. Isn't it funny how much we change based upon what is available? Here's what's fascinating. Parkinson's law triggers 2 behaviors when supply is scant. When you have less, you do 2 things. The first is obvious. You become frugal. When there's less toothpaste in the tube, you use less to brush your teeth. That is the obvious part. But something else far more impactful happens. You become extremely innovative and find all sorts of ways to extract the last drop of toothpaste from the tube. If there is one thing that will forever change your relationship with money, it is the understanding of Parkinson's law. You need to intentionally make less toothpaste, money, available to brush your teeth to operate your business. When there is less, you will automatically run your business more frugally, that's good, and you will run your business far more innovatively, that's great. If you first extract your profit and remove it from sight, you will be left with a nearly empty toothpaste tube to run your business. When less money is available to run your business, you will find ways to get the same or better results with less. By taking your profit first, you'll be forced to think smarter and innovate more. 2, the primacy effect. Why the first part of profit first matters. The second behavioral principle you need to understand about yourself is called the primacy effect. The principle is this: we place additional significance on whatever we encounter first. Here's a little demonstration that may help you understand. I'm going to read two sets of words. One set describes a sinner, and another describes a saint. The goal is, as quickly as possible, and you can even do this while I'm reading, shout it out. Just if you're in public, just don't be all awkward and shout it out. Kind of shout it out in your head. To determine which one is which, okay? Good. Now, here they are. Which one's a sinner? Which one's a saint? First set of words: evil, hate, anger, joy, care, love. Second set of words: love, care, joy, anger, hate, evil. At first glance, or as I read that to you, you likely identified the first set of words to be the sinner and the second set of words to be the saint. If you did, that's wonderful news, because it means you're a human being and are experiencing the primacy effect. In other words, you will thrive under profit first. If you tried to figure out what's the catch, what's Mike trying to do, as we're going through this exercise, that's awesome news too. It means you are an entrepreneur and are more than willing to break old systems, like reading left to right only, or listening in sequence, which also means you will thrive under profit first. Now, let's look at those set of words again. The first set was evil, hate, anger, joy, care, love. The second set was love, care, joy, anger, hate, evil. You will see that both sets of words are identical, just in opposite sequences. So when we hear evil and hate at the start of the set of words, your mind assigns greater weight to those words and less weight to the remaining words. When the set started with love and care, you put the weight there. When we follow the conventional formula of sales minus expenses equals profit, we are primed to focus on those first two words, sales and expenses, and treat profit as an afterthought. We then behave accordingly. We sell as hard as we can, then use the money we collect to pay expenses. We stay stuck in the cycle of selling to pay bills, over and over again, wondering why we never see any profit. Who's the sinner now? When profit comes first, it is the focus, and it is never forgotten. 3. Remove temptation. Once you take your profit first, put it away. My greatest weakness is chocodiles. Twinkies covered in dark chocolate, filled with cream, and wrapped in love. Fortunately, they stopped making them. And, technically, they actually still do make them. Some fans do send me chocodiles. Please do not feel that as a decree for you to send me chocodiles. I have more than I can deal with, and my waistline definitely does not want them, so don't send them. Wine or beer, on the other hand, is accepted. Now, if one of those chocodiles sneaked into my house, even if it had expired in 1972, I would devour that delicious elixir of love and monounsaturated fats. Now I always make sure I have healthy options with me, and the junk is nowhere around. Money works the same way. As you implement profit first, you're going to use the powerful force of out of sight, out of mind. As you generate a profit, which, remember, starts today, you're going to remove the money from your immediate access. You won't see it, so you won't access it. And just like anything that you don't have a reasonable degree of access to, you will find a way to work with what you have and not worry about what you don't. Then, when Mr. Buffett, your profit account, releases money to you, it will serve as a bonus. 4. Enforce a rhythm. Just as it keeps us from starving and binging on food, enforcing a rhythm works with money too. When we get into a rhythm, I'll explain in Chapter 6 a twice-a-month method that I call the 10-25 rule. We don't get into the reactive mode of crazy spending when we get big deposits and panicking in the face of big cash dips. I am not saying that money will automatically appear and you will always have cash at your disposal, but establishing a rhythm will get you out of the daily panic. In fact, establishing a rhythm will also be a great indicator of overall cash flow. This system is the easiest way to measure cash flow. Instead of reading the cash flow statement, which honestly, when was the last time you did that? You can measure your cash flow by just checking your bank accounts, which you do anyway. When you get into a rhythm with your cash management, you'll have your finger on the pulse of your business. You will monitor your cash position every day by just looking at your bank account. Log in, spend 2 seconds looking at your balance, log out. You will know where you stand that quickly. Think of your cash flow as waves rolling onto the beach. If the cash wave is big, you will notice and take action. This is when looking at the reports with the guidance of a pro is helpful. When the waves are small, you will surely notice that too. Most of the time, I expect the cash waves will be normal and no action will be required. But no matter what, you will always know, because you will continue to do what you normally do, log into your bank account. But if I set aside my profits, how will I grow? This is a question I get asked a lot. By now, I hope I've convinced you that chasing growth for its own sake is how you wind up broke and out of business. But that doesn't mean growth doesn't matter, or that you shouldn't want it. Growth strategies have been part of my spiel for years. I've now written multiple books on the idea of fast organic growth, like my book Surge. But like most entrepreneurs, I always used to think it was one or the other. Either you could grow or you could be profitable. You surely couldn't do both. I was wrong. What I found is that the fastest, healthiest growth comes from businesses that prioritize profit. And it is not because they plow money back into their businesses. Businesses that plow back their profits aren't truly profitable. They're just holding money temporarily, feigning profit, then spending it, just like any other expense. Profit first sparks faster growth because it makes you reverse engineer your profitability. When you take your profit first, your business will tell you immediately whether it can afford the expenses you're incurring. It will tell you whether you are streamlined enough. It will tell you whether you have the right margins. If you find that you can't pay your bills after taking your profit first, you must address all these points and make the fixes. Taking profit first will help you figure out which of the many things you do makes money and which don't. Then the direction is obvious. You do more of what is profitable, and you fix, or dump, what is not. You will focus on what makes profit for you, naturally, and you will get better and better at it. And when you get better at what your customers already want and like, they will like you more. All this translates into fast, healthy growth. Boom. Specialists, such as heart surgeons, know the secret. Keep doing a few things, like heart surgery, really, really well, and you will attract the best customers, dictate the biggest premiums, and see your practice grow to be world-renowned. Alternatively, the general practitioner does everything, from hangnails to rashes, coughs, and colds, but never specializes and therefore attracts the general customers. And when things get serious for the patient, that cough is actually indicating heart disease, the general practitioner refers the work to the specialist, who then collects all the premium money for their services. Specialists own the big houses in town, while general practitioners can't pay off their student loans. To grow the biggest and the fastest, you need to be the best at one thing you do. And to become the best at something, you need to first determine what you are best at and do it a whole lot better. To get there, you take your profit first, and the answers to being the best at something will reveal themselves. The new accounting formula. Now you know the psychology behind how you work. The next step is to put a system around the normal you. And we start with a simple new profit first formula. Sales minus profit equals expenses. What you are about to learn isn't anything new, not even to you. It is something I suspect you've been aware of in full, or at least in part, but have never done. It is the concept of pay yourself first meets small plate servings meets grandma's envelope money management system meets your pre-existing natural human tendencies. Here's how to apply the four principles. 1. Use small plates. When money comes into your main income account, it simply acts as a serving tray for the other accounts. You then periodically disperse all the money from the income account into different accounts in predetermined percentages. Each of these accounts has a different objective. One is for profit. One is for owner compensation, another for taxes, and another for operating expenses. Collectively, these are the five foundational accounts: income, profit, owner's comp, taxes, and operating expenses, and where you should get started, but advanced users will use additional accounts, and I will outline that in Chapter 10. Just take a little break from the book for a second. I want you to think about Thanksgiving dinner, or any large dinner you celebrate with your family if you're not from a country like the U.S. where we celebrate Thanksgiving. But here's how Thanksgiving works at my house. That golden turkey is served and is displayed in front of everyone to ooh and ah. But we don't tell our family and friends, hey, just dive in off the serving tray. Just fork right into that turkey and take a piece for yourself. Stab away. Never. Instead, it's my job, I carve up the turkey. So I sit there and cut 1,000 slices, and then we give a slice to every person or multiple slices if they want it. It's an apportioning of the turkey. It's absurd to serve that turkey and just ask everyone to dig on off of that because you don't know who's going to take too much, who's going to take a favorite piece of someone else. It's just a strange way of apportioning things. It doesn't work. But if we carve up the turkey in advance, then we can give everyone a slice of turkey on their plate. We ensure that everyone at the table has something to eat. That's the concept here. We're going to pre-apportion money. That income account is a big turkey. We're going to carve up that money from the income account and apportion it in advance to these different accounts I just mentioned. The owner's comp, the taxes, the profit. In this way, we know every component of your business has enough money to be satisfied. All right, I hope that clicked. Let's get back to the book. 2, serve sequentially. Always, and I mean always, allocate money based upon the percentages to the accounts first. Never, ever, ever pay bills first. The money moves from the income account to your profit account, owner's comp, tax, and OPEX, which is operating expenses. Then you pay bills only with what is available in the OPEX account. No exceptions. And if there isn't enough money left for expenses, this does not mean you need to pull from the other accounts. What it does mean is that your business is telling you that you can't afford those expenses and need to get rid of them. Eliminating unnecessary expenses will bring more health to your business than you can ever imagine. 3, remove temptation. Move your profit account and other tempting accounts out of arm's reach. Make it really hard and painful to get that money, thereby removing the temptation to borrow, i.e. steal, from yourself. Use an accountability mechanism to prevent access, except for the right reason. And 4, enforce a rhythm. Do your allocations and payables twice a month, specifically on the 10th and the 25th. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Don't pay only when there is money piled up in the account. Get into a rhythm of allocating your income and paying bills twice a month so that you can see how cash accumulates and where the money really goes. This is controlled, recurring, and frequent cash flow management, not by the seat of your pants cash management. By the time I started applying this small plate philosophy to my company's finances, I was doing consulting work and speaking on entrepreneurship. I also applied my new profit first system to my one surviving investment, Hedgehog Leatherworks. I'd given up booze and infomercials as coping mechanisms, and my depression had lifted. At the time, I was putting the finishing touches on my first business book, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, into which I inserted a small section about the concept of profit first. After that book came out, I continued to refine the system, exploring and living it, and everything changed. I started implementing it with other entrepreneurs, and it worked for me, for them, and for my readers. Fueled by my passion for entrepreneurship and my determination to be profitable now, not at some indeterminate date in the future, I set about to perfect my system. In that process, I discovered other entrepreneurs and business leaders who were running their businesses check to check and desperately needed the profit first system. But I also found entrepreneurs and business leaders who had been implementing a similar system with great success. People like Jesse Cole, owner of two AAA baseball teams, who, while growing his business, paid off nearly $1 million in loans. And Phil Tyrone, who, while building his first highly profitable multi-million dollar business, continued to rent the same studio apartment until he determined that he had secured enough profit to upgrade to a one-bedroom. In the coming pages, I will share stories about people who are in lockstep with their profits and stories about other folks, like you and me, who are giving it their all but still ended up breaking even only on their best days. People who now turn a profit every month and enjoy the fruits of their labors. People like Jose and Jorge, two entrepreneurs who started using Profit First in the first few months of launching their business and have experienced not only very respectable growth, but have continually taken in a 7 to 20% profit month after month. Lower the bar. In their book, Switch, Chip and Dan Heath explained the concept of lowering the bar. We entrepreneurs are all programmed to raise the bar, go bigger, live bolder, take on more. But I have found this isn't always the best way to gain momentum. And if you intend to be profitable, it is time we start with a small, low bar step. I want you to take one small, simple, and easy action that will start you down the path of permanent profitability. There is no excuse because it is so easy. Right now, I want you to set up your profit account. It is the first step in the Profit First system. So do it right now. Call your bank or do it online and set up one new checking account. Don't get mired in whether it should be a savings account or a sweep account or any of that. The 5 seconds you spend thinking about it costs more than that little dribble of interest it will yield. Your goal is just to get started and not to slip back. After setting up this new checking account at your bank, nickname the account Profit. And you can even do it in all caps, really, to drive home the word profit. And from this moment forward, from any deposit you put into your normal checking account, transfer 1% of that deposit into your profit account. Then proceed with your business and process and money management as you have in the past. Just add to the profit account and never touch it until you get to the section of this book where I explain what to do with it. If you get a $1,000 deposit, I am telling you, starting today, transfer $10 into your profit account. If you could run your business off of $1,000, you can surely do it off of $990. If you get $20,000 in deposits, you transfer $200 into your profit account. If you can run your business off of $20,000, you absolutely can run it off of $19,800. You'll never miss that 1%. It is a low bar. But something magical will happen. You will start proving the system to yourself. You won't get rich overnight this way, but you will get a wealth of confidence. You will have a flavor of how powerful it is to reserve your profit in advance. Your job is to stick with this small step for a while. Watch your profit accumulate. Yes, it is notably small, but it is profit nonetheless. The goal here is to win over your mind. The goal is for you to realize that this unfamiliar process of taking your profit first isn't so scary after all. Then, once you are digging the profit first vibe, you are set for greater success because you will be staged perfectly to do the rest of the system and your heart will be in it big time. Take action. Easy first steps. Number one, trust the process. This works. But I get it. I totally get it. It is unfamiliar. It works. So, because it is unfamiliar, you will resist. Commit to, for now, relinquishing your resistance and comfort in doing what you did in the past. First, trust the process. Then prove it to yourself. And listen, 30,000 companies, as an estimate, but about 30,000 companies are doing this. The process works. It is uncomfortable because it challenges the way you've been. Trust the process, step into the uncomfort, and just start. Okay, number two, open just one new profit account. Profit. For simplicity's sake, make it a checking account. Don't worry about the insignificant interest implications of savings and other accounts. Your goal for now is to get started immediately and decisively. And three, transfer 1% of your current money into the profit account. You have seeded the account. Don't touch it. Never transfer it. Just let it sit there for now. We're about to get chapter 3 started, but I got a question for you. Did you set up that account? Come on, set it up. You're like, but Mike, I was jogging. Mike, I'm running down the road and you want me to set up an account? I'm just listening to the tape, pal. Not good enough. Not good. Listen, I'm getting so jacked up right now. I'm blowing out the microphone. Set up that account. Stop jogging for a second. Go call your bank. It takes a second and get it set up. If you don't take decisive action, that's where things start slipping off. And I gave you such a small step. But Mike, I'm driving. I can't get me a phone call while I'm driving. I'm listening to you on Audible. Pull over. The next rest stop, pull over and let's get this puppy done. I'll tell you, when you get that first account set up, that's when profit starts happening because you won't unwind the system. But if you don't start doing it, then you're like, oh, I'll do it later, and later never happens. So I don't mean to get all Anthony Robbins on you and get in your face, but for God's sake, do it. All right. I'm a little jacked up too because my wife, as I'm doing this recording, is calling me, asking me for tech support. It's just pure mayhem here. Don't let the mayhem continue. Set up that account. Now let's get to chapter 3. Chapter 3, setting up profit first for your business. When I was a teenager, my mom had a part-time job working for Lenze Corporation, or Lenze, if you want to do the German pronunciation, a German-based company that distributed proprietary machine parts. Every other week, after she cashed her paycheck, she would divide up her money. I can still see her sitting at the kitchen table, placing fives and tens into envelopes labeled food, mortgage, community, fund money, and vacation. She had one other envelope labeled in a German phrase, which roughly translates into, in case of emergency. Half of her money went into the mortgage envelope. Then she'd put 15% into the vacation envelope, 5% into fund money, and 10% each into food, community, and that rainy day envelope, nur für den Notfall, which, by the way, is the German, my best German pronunciation of in case of emergency. Despite the fact that her hours fluctuated, Mom always had enough money for food. Now, let me be clear about something. This did not mean she always had the same amount of money. She always had enough. Some weeks she worked fewer hours because she was sick or because she volunteered at my school. It's totally embarrassing when your mom shows up at your class with German puppets to teach German folklore when you're a senior in high school. And I am not kidding. Yeah. Oh, man. Other weeks, she would work overtime. Her income varied. Sounds familiar? Yet Mom always had enough money because once she put money into one of her envelopes, she kept it sealed until she needed it. She never borrowed from other envelopes if she was short. Instead, she drove to the grocery store, and only when she had parked the car would she open the food envelope. Mom shopped with whatever food money she had that week. If it was a light week, it would be PB&J for lunch and rice and beans for dinner. More money meant cold cuts for lunch and chicken and rice for dinner. And if she was rolling in the dough, it was Liverwurst all day long. No one but Mom liked Liverwurst. So when she was cranking hours and sure to come home with more pay that week, my sister and I would try to get her to spend more time at home so she couldn't afford the Liverwurst. As an aside, if you've never heard of Liverwurst, consider yourself blessed because it means liver sausage. See? Yeah, you wouldn't like it either. You might be wondering, what about the mortgage envelope? If her pay was light that week, it wasn't as if she could go to the mortgage company and tell them she would have to pay less that month. Mom knew that when she worked a normal work schedule, 40% of her pay would be enough to contribute to the mortgage bill. But as we all know all too well, normal ain't always so normal. Things happen. So she intentionally set up a 50% mortgage allocation. By always putting in 10% more than she needed, there was always a cushion for when normal contributions fell short. And when all hell broke loose, which it never did, probably because she was prepared for it, Mom had the nur für den Notfall envelope for backup. The envelope system is not unique to my mom. She is a member of the Greatest Generation, a survivor of the near-constant bombing of her town during World War II. Since I published the first edition of Profit First, I've received countless emails from readers whose parents or grandparents used similar systems. Perhaps even yours did. From envelopes to jars to a nifty steel box with different compartments used by a reader in Sweden, many readers adapted these systems for their own use. Profit First is, in part, the envelope system applied to business and modernized by using bank accounts. The system worked flawlessly for my mom, and I suspect has done the same for someone in your family tree. How do you apply this system to your business? I've given you a step-by-step process below. No envelopes, jars, or nifty steel boxes required. Bank balance accounting. The default cash management system for most entrepreneurs is what I call bank balance accounting. Ironically, it is what our accountants tell us not to do. Don't look at your bank accounts, they say. Look at your accounting system. Right. Don't you just love looking at your accounting system? Just like those 1,000 beautiful vacation pictures your friend shows you with a funny story about each one. You could look at those all day long. Not. If you follow your accountant's directions explicitly, this is what is expected of you when you review your accounting system to figure out how much cash you have. Once you've reconciled all accounts for accuracy, reviewed your profit and loss, that's your P&L, and cash flow statements, and then tie the numbers into your balance sheet, next, you'll run the critical metrics, such as your OCR, operating cash ratio, inventory turn, and both the current and quick ratio. Then you'll tie those into your KPI, which is your key performance indicators. And then you will know the health of your business. Oh, and before I forget, do that every week. Then you'll have a clear understanding of where your business is. So says the accountant. There's just one problem. I have no idea how to truly read and tie in all those documents and ratios. In fact, that is why I hired the accountant and bookkeeper in the first place. Quite frankly, my head is spinning just reading this to you. In fact, I think I'm having some flashbacks. It's bad, my friends. Really bad. When I think about financial reporting docs, I start to get the shakes. And if I look at the numbers too long, I inevitably end up under my desk, sucking my thumb. Still, 100 times better than eating liververse, to be honest with you. So what do I do? What do most entrepreneurs do? We revert to bank balance accounting. What is that? We log into our bank accounts, make note of our balances, and then, based upon what we see, make decisions on how to proceed. When our balance is low, we make collection calls and sell hard. When our balance is high, we invest in equipment and expansion. It works. Well, kind of it works. Bank balance accounting seems to work because it is how we are wired to look at quick indicators. For example, does my bank account have enough money? Then we trust our gut and take action. This system doesn't work perfectly, though, because it seems that we never have enough money left to pay ourselves. That's why I created Profit First. Profit First is designed so that you can and should continue doing bank balance accounting. The system is set up with your bank accounts so that you can log in, see what your balance is, and make decisions accordingly. This is what you are doing already, so you don't need to change. Profit First just has multiple accounts at your bank so that when you log in, you know what purpose that money is meant to serve. You open your envelope, see what you have to work with, and make your decisions. Will it be rice and beans or Wiener Schnitzel? Which, by the way, is awesome. With Profit First, we are not going to change your behavior. We're going to put guardrails around it. We're not only going to allow you to do what you always have done, we are also going to encourage it. The five foundational accounts. If you've made it this far into the book, I assume you're on board with the idea of Profit First. It's time to take your first step, setting up your envelopes or plates. Do this now. Don't put it off to later, and you know how jacked up I get about that, so don't put this off. It's time to get your ass in gear. What you're about to do is the foundation of Profit First. This is the structure your profits will be built on. All the muscle in the world is useless if it isn't connected to a strong skeletal structure. These accounts are the bones. Here are the five checking accounts you need to set up. 1. Income. 2. Profit. 3. Owner's comp. 4. Tax. And 5. OPEX. That's the operating expenses. Make sure you set these up as checking accounts. The flexibility offered by checking accounts far outweighs any minuscule interest you get by using savings accounts. Call your bank and set up the foundational 5 accounts. Most banks allow you to assign a nickname to the account that is displayed online and on statements in addition to the account number. Just as mom labeled her envelopes, name your accounts according to their purpose. You can use your existing primary bank account as one of the 5 accounts. Rename it your OPEX account because you are likely paying all your bills from that account. Going forward, we are just going to move deposits to your income account. That should be a no-brainer for check deposits. Simply put them into a new account. For other type of deposits, such as credit card or ACH payments, you'll have to update your bank information wherever necessary. The process will take about half an hour. If you have a lot of automated payments, maybe an hour. Make the effort and get this done. 2. No temptation accounts. Now that you've set up your 5 foundational accounts at your primary bank, you have, right? Your next step is to set up 2 no temptation accounts. We're going to get your taxes out of sight and out of mind, and we're going to do the same with your profit account. You may be thinking, why do I need to do this? I already have a tax account and profit account at my primary bank. Why do I need a duplicate? The reason we have these secondary accounts is to keep the money that you allocate and reserve for tax and profit out of your sight. Because when something isn't available to consume, you don't consume it. If something is not readily available, we are unlikely to go through an extraordinary measure to consume it. Your profit is for you, and if you can access it easily, you might be tempted to borrow from it to cover expenses. And the tax money? That belongs to the government. We're going to make sure that you never borrow, a soft term for stealing, from these accounts. If you take money from your profit account and put it back into the business, you are basically saying that you are unwilling to find a way to run your business with the operating expenses you allocated for it. If you take money from your tax account, the money you've reserved to pay the government, you are stealing from the government. And I suspect you already know this. The government doesn't like that too much. Find a new bank that you've never worked with before. In this case, you will not be moving money too much, and you will rarely bring the 2 accounts to a 0 balance, unless you're short on tax. So with this bank, you can be less concerned about minimum balance fees they have. At the second bank, set up 2 savings accounts. This is where you will collect interest because your money will pool for a while. The 2 accounts are profit hold and tax hold. Then link these 2 accounts to the respective profit and tax accounts at your primary bank so that you'll be able to transfer money. I will explain shortly when to transfer money and how often you will do it. But for now, I want to address one question you may have. You may be thinking, why should I set up profit and tax accounts at both my primary bank and my no temptation bank? I'm an entrepreneur. I like shortcuts. Can't I just transfer money from my primary bank's income account over to the profit hold and tax hold accounts at my no temptation bank? While technically speaking, you can do that, it's a bad idea for 2 reasons. First, transfers from one bank to another are not instantaneous. It can take 3 days or longer if there's weekends and holidays. And when you log into your primary account, the money looks as if it's still there until the transfer is complete. Second, the goal with Profit First is to give you instant and accurate knowledge on where your cash stands. When you move money from one account to another at the same bank, the transfer usually happens instantaneously. By first moving money from your income account to the profit and tax accounts, along with the other accounts, you will instantly see where your money stands on their respective plates. Now that your money is clearly on the right plate at your primary bank, initiate the transfer to the profit hold and tax hold accounts at the second bank. Now, anytime you log into your primary bank, you will know exactly where you stand, even if the transfer to your no temptation bank hasn't completed yet. two frequently asked questions. I speak about Profit First at roughly 30 major conferences a year, as well as a number of smaller conferences, webinar, lectures. I did a great podcast today, I had a blast. I do it regularly. I speak about it all the time. And inevitably, when the Q&A part of my Profit First spiel comes up, one of two questions always comes up. First, I haven't ever been profitable in the past, so how can I take my profit now? People have difficulty accepting the notion that they can start taking profits right away because it seems like some kind of woo-woo accounting trickery. It's not. In fact, it's regular accounting that employs trickery. By taking profit first, you're fundamentally changing the way you run your business. When I hear this question, I always explain Parkinson's law. You spend every penny you have available and stretch every dollar in the lean times to keep your business moving forward. I'm simply asking you to remove the profit first and operate on less. You've done this already and you found a way. There's a saying, nothing changes if nothing changes. If you don't change the way you take your profit, you will never take a profit. So if you haven't been profitable in the past, by taking your profit first, starting today, you are ensuring profitability. The second question that comes up is this. Can't I just do this on a spreadsheet or in my accounting system? Why do I need to do this at the bank? I answered this question by asking a question. How has that served you so far? Aren't you already following your cash flow every day on a spreadsheet? Are you checking your accounting system daily, reviewing the numbers? No? Exactly. So setting up profit first in your accounting system is only a slight modification over something you are supposedly doing already and failing at it. No matter what those spreadsheets or monthly reports say, your current bank balance is always going to be a stronger determinant of your behavior. The reason you must set up your profit first accounts at your bank is because it is the only way to insert the system into your normal path of behavior. By setting it up at your bank, you cannot miss your allocations when you log into your bank. Picking the bank. When choosing your banks, focus on convenience options for one and inconvenience options for the other. As unbelievable as that sounds, you do want an inconvenient bank for your second one. At your primary bank, you want easy access to view your accounts, the plates or envelopes. You want the easy ability to transfer money from income to your other accounts. And you want to be able to pay bills out of OPEX. At your secondary bank, you want no convenience options. Remember, out of sight, out of mind. What we can't see or use, we don't worry about. You work with what you have here and now. Peter Laughter, and that's his real last name, Laughter. It's awesome. Peter Laughter, a longtime friend of mine, knew the power of removing temptation. When he set up profit first for his company, he went to a new bank and asked the branch manager for assistance in setting up the accounts. The manager was more than excited to talk with Peter because a good chunk of money would be deposited into the bank. In his salesman-like way, the manager shared all the wonderful convenience options that Peter would get with his new bank accounts, online banking, starter checks, and that shiny new ATM card. Peter looked at the branch manager and said, "I don't want any of that. I am seeking the most inconvenient options you have. In fact, the only way I want to withdraw money from this bank is if I visit this branch and ask you to write out a certified bank check to me. And when that day comes, just to make sure that I'm only using it for the right reason, I want you to slap me in the face a few times when I ask you to write me the check." For the Gene Wilder fans out there, this is like the young Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, scene when Dr. Frankenstein locks himself in a room with his monster and says, "No matter what you hear in there, no matter how cruelly I beg, no matter how terribly I may scream, do not open this door or you will undo everything I've worked for." If you don't know the scene I'm referring to there, you are perhaps missing the greatest, funniest movie of all time. Go out and rent it now. This is almost as important as setting up that bank account. The bank account still is more important. Seeing Dr. Frankenstein or young Frankenstein, that's secondarily to this, only to this. The bank manager was befuddled, but he agreed to make things as inconvenient as possible for Peter. Banks won't always work with your needs. Back in 2005, when I had my forensics business, I deposited, and more often withdrew and borrowed, millions of dollars every year. I was doing a lot of business with a certain bank, but they weren't flexible and wouldn't accommodate my needs. Then Commerce Bank came along. They were doing what was, up until that time, unheard of. They were open late at night, every weeknight, and they were open on weekends. They were available to do business when I was doing business, which was after business hours. I went to my bank branch and told them I wanted to close all of my accounts because I wanted to switch to Commerce Bank. The manager came out and asked me why. She cackled like some villain in a movie and said, "Oh, you'll be back." She literally said that. I have never been back, nor has my money. And that bank still exists today, and I will never return. You have the ability to change banks too. Their job is to serve you, just like you wouldn't risk botulism and accept undercooked chicken from your local restaurant. Why should you accept a poisoned relationship with a bank? Feedback from so many people who are implementing Profit First demonstrates that some, but very few, large banks will work with you by cutting out the fees. But many regional and local banks and federal credit unions will be thrilled to work with you. And in many cases, like my own experience, they don't have all those crazy fees in the first place. Small banks and credit unions are plug and play for Profit First. Select big banks are too. And there's a couple that come to mind. So if you want to know who the big banks are, visit also my website, mikemikalowicz.com. Go to the resources page, and I'll keep you current on the banks that we're finding that are phenomenal. You can always email me too. So my email is mike@mikemikalowicz.com, and I'll share any insights I can share with you on finding a great bank just for you. Here's how to proceed. If you like your current bank, tell them that the requirements for a minimum balance and transfer fees and all those rules they have don't work for you. Ask them to waive the minimum balance requirement and other fees. Yeah, you can ask them to do that. Your bank will either comply with your request or they won't. If they do, kudos to you. If they don't, maybe it's time to move to a new bank. You've already taken three steps toward a profitable business. You emailed your commitment to me, right? That was in chapter one. You set up your Profit First account. You better have done that. And you transferred 1% of your current money. You have the momentum. Now it's time to kick Profit First into gear and experience the simple yet powerful transformation for yourself. I won't say it works like magic, but it's pretty freaking amazing to watch your profit and your business grow day by day, deposit by deposit. Don't stop now. Take action. Take action. Get your business profit ready. Step one, set up the five foundational accounts: an income account, a profit account, an owner's pay account, a tax account, and an OpEx account. In most cases, you already have one or two accounts with your bank. Keep the primary checking account you already have as your OpEx account and set up the remaining accounts: income, profit, owner's comp, and tax. For simplicity's sake, set them all up as checking accounts. Some banks may charge fees or have minimum balance requirements. Don't let that deter you. Ask to speak to the bank manager and negotiate the fees and requirements. If the manager is unwilling to negotiate, find a new bank. Step two, set up two more external saving accounts with a bank other than the bank you use for your daily operations. One account will be your No Temptation Profit Hold account. The second will be your No Temptation Tax Hold account. Set them up with the ability to withdraw money directly from the respective checking accounts at your primary bank. Step three, don't enable any of the convenience options for your two external No Temptation accounts. You don't need or want to view these accounts online. You don't want checkbooks for these accounts, and you definitely do not want a debit card linked to those accounts. You just want to deposit your profit and tax reserves and forget it for now. Chapter 4, Assessing the Health of Your Business. After I finished writing Profit First, I put out a call for volunteers to help me edit my book. And here's a little tip. If you're ever interested in being an editor for my future books, just hang out with me on Facebook. That's where I put out my requests. Well, my professional editing team is composed of aces, but I find it invaluable to also get detailed feedback from entrepreneurs who have read my other books. Business coach Lisa Robin Young was one of my volunteer editors. She actually started implementing Profit First as she was reviewing the book. It was too good, too useful, and made too much sense to wait, she said. Lisa is my kind of go-getter. She took action not only before she finished reading the book, but before the book was even published. It wasn't all unicorns and rainbows. Let's just say I'm glad I wasn't in the room when Lisa completed her instant assessment. Within minutes, I was angry, Lisa told me. I mean, really pissed off that I had been overspending on what I thought was important and necessary infrastructure for my business. In the years since I published the first edition of Profit First, countless readers have shared their initial reactions to completing the first step in the process, the instant assessment. It's not uncommon to hear from readers who are shocked and overwhelmed, and like Lisa, downright pissed after completing this step. This is when you get real about your financials. It's a simple process, but damn, facing the truth hurts like a mother. If you're coming to this book at a point of financial stress, you may not want to face the instant assessment because you know, right? You know seeing the cold, hard truth is going to suck big time. As hard as it is for struggling entrepreneurs to complete this task, it is even more sobering for entrepreneurs who think they're doing okay because they are not prepared for the bad news. Or you could put this book down, tell yourself your business is doing great, and keep doing what you're doing. Denial is a wonderful thing. It lets you ignore reality until reality punches you in the face. Don't get punched in the face. Don't get caught unaware. The sooner you accept the truth about your business, the faster we can do something about it. At the time Lisa completed her instant assessment, she was in business transition. And though she had a five-figure cash flow, her money was all over the map. The only feelings I had around my financials were numbness. I was overspending but didn't realize it because there was still more inflow than outflow, but it never felt like I was making any progress. Then Profit First helped me understand why. After some initial resistance, Lisa accepted the reality of her instant assessment and started implementing Profit First, step by step. In the 2 years since she opened her first Profit account, Lisa's business experienced significant change. My profit used to be something I realized at tax time. You know, when the IRS gave me a refund of $4,000 or $5,000, Lisa explained. Now I get a quarterly bonus that I can feel, plus regular payroll. I've also increased the withholding profit to 10% because my overhead is substantially lower now that I've reduced my expenses and developed systems that serve the business. She also spends much less time on her business. I was practically killing myself before, and now I'm only working a few hours a week. I was able to focus on the big obstacles blocking my path rather than put out countless fires. Once Lisa set out on the Profit First path, she realized she wasn't working to her best potential or serving her best audience. Like her money, her services were spread out all over the map. Lisa shifted her business audience and formed ARC Entertainment Media, a business incubator for creative entrepreneurs. Lisa's revenue has doubled. Let me say that again. Lisa's revenue has doubled every month so far since she made the shift. I've known for a while that Profit First triggers growth because it requires us to focus, streamline, and innovate. But every confirmation is exciting. When I heard about Lisa's explosive growth, I punched the air like the dork I am. Is Lisa getting punched by reality? Nope. Her business is kicking ass and taking names. Lisa shared, nearly 2 years in, after a business restructure and audience shift, the Profit First approach has made it all effortless. I finished my taxes earlier this year than I have in the past 5 years, and I had plenty set aside. No scrambling. And I had profits. Say what? That was pretty awesome. Running the instant assessment is easy. Facing the truth about your business financials, on the other hand, is right up there with root canals and colonoscopies. But it is a necessary step that will set you on a path toward profit, growth, and work fulfillment. So buck up, bucko, and get her done. the almost instant assessment. Whether your business is simply not as profitable as you would like it to be or is in full cardiac arrest, you should be willing to keep your eyes wide open. In order for profit first to work, you need to come to this with no blinders on. Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. It will help if you have a few documents available to complete this next phase. But if you don't have the documents, I list them in the next step coming up, or can't get them, that's okay. We can get close enough without them. Profit First is a cash management system. We don't do anything on accrual or any of that funny money stuff. It is really simple. Did you get the cash or not? And did you spend the cash or not? That's it. Nothing else really matters unless cash happens. So that is why our focus is exclusively on cash. If you are wondering how Profit First addresses depreciation or accounts receivable, you are still thinking funny money. We are only going to measure actual cash transactions. Money in, money out, real money, period. As you complete the instant assessment, remember that different businesses have different setups. I'll help you get to the perfect numbers for your specific business in the next chapter. For now, know that in this chapter, I will provide ballpark numbers that I pulled from surveying a mix of fiscally elite, aka very profitable, companies. Before you start the instant assessment, get your P&L from your last full year in business. Get the tax returns for each owner in the business for the tax period for that year. Get your balance sheet for the year end of that year. Your accounting software, if you use one, can spit this stuff out easily, everything but your tax returns. If you don't have access to a balance sheet or your P&L, that's okay. We can still get darn close. Are you ready? No excuses. You must proceed with this. Get ready for the ice bucket challenge, Profit First style. Figure 3 is the Profit First Instant Assessment Form. Again, this is downloadable at mikemikalowicz.com/resources. Or if that's too hard to spell, because I know it is, type in mikemotorbike.com. That'll